This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Well, I listened to that, and you could tell she had been really touched by that. It was a moment in her life that was significant. Both these girls' parents had been divorced, and I could tell that they both were interested in maybe a relationship. Who knows? Maybe meeting a guy that night as they went out late on a Saturday night. But I was able to share that testimony with her about really the love of God, about the miraculous interventions that God makes to reach us and to remind us that,
I tell you what, I'm going to tell you a story. Mine's a little different, but it doesn't involve a butterfly, but it involves a moth. So help me God. 2 years ago, we're driving up, and I don't know if we were in the Carolinas by now, Virginia or the Carolinas, but we're heading up from Florida up to Vermont. And we stopped. I put on a sweater. It must have been getting cool. I put on a sweater. The sweater had holes in it. And I said, oh, a moth must have gotten into my sweater. Now, this is midday. We had stopped at a Subway sandwich shop. We share a half of a Subway sandwich. We have that cut in half, just two smalls. It's a great, great little midday snack. We're sitting there eating in the day in a parking lot. And as I talked about that moth eating my sweater, suddenly a moth came up to the dead center of the window of the car and was attempting to get into the car. Now, first of all, we don't see moths during the day. You see moths at night. Secondly, moths are driven to light. Why would the moth want to get inside what would be a dark car as opposed to already being outside in the light? I took it, it may sound simple, it may sound crazy, but I took it as some sort of a sign of the Lord. And your story, you keep running into all these people with this butterfly story. And I don't know if you've ever been to, I think it's called an aviary, but down in Key West, Florida, and you have a friend that's down there too. I don't know if you've gone down there when you've been there, but they have this butterfly place, and you go inside, and they have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of butterflies. Do you know there are 18,000 varieties of butterflies alone, not including moths? There are 18,000 varieties that man knows of butterflies, and they're actually very perfect because first of all, it starts off as a little worm. And people go, oh, those worms are killing that plant, that tree. Well, those little caterpillars eat those. Then they go into a cocoon, and then they morph into a butterfly. And then when they come back out, they used to only have legs. Now they have wings, and they fly off, and they go into flowers of the tree, spreading the pollen, which actually ends up a perfect cycle. The very tree that it ate from, the leaves from, it helps produce more of those trees by becoming a butterfly. So it's a perfect cycle of life. And I mean, if God can take a caterpillar and morph it into a butterfly with wings, like an angelic being, who says that he can't, in the Bible clearly says, unless a seed dies. And remember what we're talking about. Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. We all, I got to interview Dr. Billy Graham a few years ago, and I didn't ask him this at the time, but I was told that he said anyone who gets a call of God gets a death blow. Now, I don't know if those were his exact words. I should have asked his daughter that too, because I met her afterwards, but after he died. But we get a death blow. And I think it's because, we don't know what happened to Jesus after the age of 12 until he appears at the age of 30 to start his 3-year ministry before he would leave the earth, fulfilling the prophecy of the Messiah and the Passover Lamb of God. And just marvelous. And just as Abraham was willing to give up his son, God ultimately did give up his son. And I don't know why people are blind to that. But anyway, just kind of going down a little bit of a rabbit hole there. But I want to, by the way, in case somebody's just tuned in, I want them to know we're talking with David Preston Usher. He is a lifelong friend of mine. We met, I don't know, a year or two before I came to know the Lord. I think when I first met you, I had not known the Lord. And I had a born-again miraculous encounter while I was a struggling songwriter living in the ghetto of Troy, New York. And as David saw, and then a year or so later, you came to know the Lord miraculously. You were going through a valley, lost a girlfriend, lost a job. And oh, by the way, we forgot to say one thing. You called Diane on the phone, and she said, perhaps it's time that you receive Jesus. You said, do you know Jesus? She said, do you know Jesus? And you said, well, I know about him, but I don't really know him. She said, well, let's say this prayer. And you said a sinner's prayer. And you said it was like electricity came over. You were on the phone with her. So you got saved while you were on the phone. The electricity went through you, and you knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And a friend of yours named Rhett Palmer pointed out a few weeks later. Says, I said, David, pick up your phone. And I said, what is your phone number? It's 465-2580. It makes a cross. Now, maybe that sounds coincidental. It is. But God's in charge.
You know, it wasn't coincidental at all, because at the time I was making a pretty good living on the phone all day long. And all we did as telemarketers at the time, calling attorneys and accountants, was press that phone. And so I turned that truth that you found out, that my phone number at the time that I accepted Christ formed a perfect cross, I put that on an Easter card, and I shared that testimony with about 60 people. And many people came over to my cubicle where I worked and said, wow, that really touched me, that story. And I knew that it touched a lot of people, because what my on the Easter card was, God had my number. God had your number. You cannot hide from God. He has your number. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. And he knows what you need to have a meaningful and fulfilling life, but you need to allow him to come into your life. Love is a choice, whether it's your wife, your husband, your children. Every day we make choices, and this is a choice. God presents himself as, I stand at the door and knock on the door of your heart to open up and let him come in. And when he comes in, he fulfills the desires of your heart, desires for love, for kindness, for goodness in your life. And so Rhett and I are here really because we've both been called of God into this beautiful love relationship with our loving Father. And there's so many things that he has for us to do and to experience. And life is so wonderful with God in the center of it.
Always love, never fail. And that goes with, we can apply that to so many things. You might meet up with somebody who's living an alternative lifestyle that maybe you think that God wouldn't approve of, or that you don't approve of, whoever it might be. No, always love, never fail. Jesus didn't go around yelling at people. The only time he yelled was in that one scene where they were selling stuff at the temple, and he turned over the table saying, you've taken my Father's house and turned it into a house of thieves, or money, or whatever it was, a house of greed. And so, but he didn't, any individual, if you read the scriptures, any individual he ran into, he even to the Pharisees who were living just a religious life, he said, I tell you that the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the scum of the earth at the time, that they are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean ahead of us? Why? Because they were coming to know after his death, the conversion of coming to know the Lord, and prostitutes and tax collectors. And, you know, it's kind of raised, like you said, you and I used to spend a lot of time going into jails together to minister, because Jesus plainly states that in the end times, at the day of judgment, that he said, many will come to him and say, we did signs and wonders in your name. We delivered demons in your name. We did this and that, excuse me. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me forever. What? And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me in prison. And they will say, well, we don't remember you. When did we do this to you, Jesus? And he will say, I will say, as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. And so, once again, it's giving dignity. He wants us to go into prisons and dignify the people, and they are of value to God. Therefore, they are of value to us. Every bum on the street, you've got doctors that are on the verge of committing suicide. You've got alcoholic judges. You've got, alcoholic whatever, rich people, poor people, and everything in between. Everybody needs love. And as David said, always love never fails. And that's inspired by a scripture, right?
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's the love chapter, right, in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, you know, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And also earlier in that chapter, I believe 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. And so, you know, we know God is love, right? Literally, God is love.
Tell the people you and I used to go into the prisons. You and I would go in together, and I was up there giving a concert or singing once, and you were in the back of the room with this great big African American black man, and he's standing with you, and you were singing "Amazing Grace," and you two had a quiet conversation while I was finishing up. Tell them about this conversation. You're was a little naive at the time. I love this story, though.
Well, as you said, we had just finished sharing the gospel with these men in a prison. I believe it was the Auburn Maximum Security Prison. And this gentleman, after we finished singing Amazing Grace, turns to me, and I said, you know, how's it going? And he said, well, I'm a lifer. And I thought, oh, praise God, you're committed to Jesus for life. That's the way we have to be. Because I had never heard the expression that I'm in for life. I have a life sentence that someone called it, I'm a lifer. I never heard it. So only thing I was thinking was about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I'm a lifer. And I said, praise God. And he looks at me like just really strangely. And he said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant I'm in for life. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, my word. I felt so terrible. I felt like I was celebrating this terrible piece of news that he was telling me he was in for life. And, oh, my word. I just said, well, you know, I didn't know what to say. I was almost speechless. And I just kind of mustered up a couple of words and said, well, the Lord has a lot of work for you to do in here. You know, there's things that God has for you to do. And I literally just slithered away, because when I asked him, I said, well, what are you in for? He said, well, I killed two people. And I literally thought for a moment in my heart that he was going to kill me. I was going to be his third person that he had killed, because he wasn't happy with my comment.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are.